I am burnt. I am embarrassing. I don't tan. I miss that whole thing and just go straight to I'm also like really badly colorblind as well. So like I don't know it until somebody says to me, "Hey, you're really badly burnt." It's a real shame.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern podcast. Earlier this week, Bayern Munich officially announced their second signing of the summer transfer window, 20-year-old Dutch midfielder Ryan Gravenberch. And while talks over the futures of both Sadio Mane and Robert Lewandowski seem to be progressing, Bayern have also reportedly agreed to sell Mark Rocha to Leeds United and stepped up their pursuit of RB Leipzig's Konrad Laimer. All of this leaves a big question mark over the future of Marcel Sabitzer, while simultaneously leaving Julian Nagelsmann with some decisions to make about how he'll line his squad up next season. Well, I'm Benjamin Scott, and I'm here to talk about all of that with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello, everybody.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And Sebastian Zimmerman.
Hi.
Well, earlier this week, the confirmation was finally given that Bayern Munich had signed Ryan Gravenberch after what feels like several months of waiting on this to finally take place. And he's finally here. He's a Bayern player. And it's really not news per se, because we've known about it for so long. But something that I did think that is interesting is that Ajax actually confirmed the transfer fee in their report. And they said it was a 18.5 million euro fee with the potential to reach 24 million euros. And I just thought that really stood out to me, because when the reports about Gravenberch were first released and everything, I think a lot of us thought 24 million was probably the minimum that we would see. But right now it's sitting at 18.5 million, and so that just stands out as a really good piece of business to me. But I'll start with you today, Sebastian. What do you think about the fee? Do you think that's also a really good deal as well for someone like Gravenberch, who's on, you know, the final year of his contract? He wants to go to Bayern. Do you see that as really good business from Bayern Munich as well?
Yeah, for sure. I think it is unrealistic to, if people would have hoped for a better deal than that. I really think this is, in terms of money, if you are convinced that this is vaguely the player you want, this is a brilliant deal, I would say. I could have easily seen him going to PSG for like 40 million or 45 million or something like that. I don't think anybody would have been particularly surprised if that would have been the story this summer, basically, if Bayern wouldn't have been in the market for him so early and would have gotten this basically wrapped up relatively quickly. So definitely a very good deal. I don't think there's much discussion about that. I mean, of course, with a guy this young, it is never like completely sure thing, right? I mean, you never know whether the guy is going to get better, whether he's going to go in the right direction, or whether there are going to be some problems, some growing pains, or even worse. You just cannot rule that out with a guy that just turned 20 years old. You just cannot expect to buy someone and completely know how good he can be and definitely will be. That's just not how it works, and I think that's something we all need to keep in mind with all those transfers. I think we talked about that a bit last week, that yeah, you'd have to kind of, you cannot just say, okay, this player didn't work out and therefore it was a bad transfer. I mean, retroactively, you know more than you would have known at the time, of course. But even then, you need to be realistic and look at this and say, okay, even as this didn't work out, it could very well have worked out and there was a lot of bad luck and so on. And this is how we have to look at these transfers. Of course, you don't know that he's going to be like as good as Goretzka or better or whatever. But there's a very reasonable chance that he's going to be a player on that level, maybe even better. And then, yeah, this is basically a steal, in my opinion. Of course, it was a situation where you would expect the transfer fee to be somewhat below the normal transfer value you would price him at, but Transfermarkt.de, for example, has him at 35 million. So this is a pretty big bargain there. I think there are not really different opinions about that. I think most fans agree. Most people who talk about this seem to agree. Of course, there are the overall kind of Hassan detractors who will, well, criticize everything in very unfair terms that Hassan has been doing. But I think among people who have a kind of serious opinion, I don't think there's much debate, at least not about the price tag. Of course, you can say, maybe I don't want the Raiola guy. Maybe I don't think he's the right player right now. Maybe we would have needed a different kind of player who would go better with what we already have. This is kind of a different discussion for me. If we're just talking about was this a good deal or not, yes. Clearly, yes.
Well, Tim, I'm going to come to you now because Sebastian brought up the Hassan detractor. And as our Hassan detractor in residence, to an extent, I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the deal, the transfer fee paid for him. But then also, you know, this is another player that we're seeing. I don't know if you saw the interview with, I believe it was Gravenberg's father, who said, you know, once Bayern Munich showed up and talked to us and kind of outlined the plan for Ryan, it was no question that's where he wanted to go. And we saw something similar with Nusair Mazraoui. We've seen it in the past. So, you know, credit here to Brazo again for, you know, a good fee, but also doing the work up front to really convince a player that this is the place for him.
Yeah, I think we were talking about this last week where, yes, there have been some moments where you think, I wonder what the other guy would have done. But at the same time, you do need to recognize when things have gone well, because you can't say, okay, well, this success, that's down to this person, that failure, that's another thing. I think it's important to be consistent, and I will definitely happily criticize somebody, but then I'd like to think that when they do a good job, I think I'm big enough to say, yeah, good job with that as well. I think Bayern have a good history, maybe not so much in the recent years, but for as long as I've been supporting the club, there's never really been really like long drawn out processes for getting players in, maybe less so getting players out, but it's always been something that's kind of like wrapped up very quickly. Even like before the transfer windows open, okay, the transfer windows for like registering players rather than like actually buying them, you can get them whenever. But so in that sense, yes, this has been slightly drawn out in terms of we heard about this guy months and months ago, and like it was all but confirmed, and there was everything with him kind of saying like, you know, I'll see you soon to Mazraoui. I don't know what he said exactly, but it was very much implied that this has kind of been agreed upon for a while. But, you know, at the same time, it has taken a while, but the window's not open yet. This is something that got wrapped up relatively quickly, considering how some transfers are going these days. This got wrapped up very quickly with seemingly very little controversy, very little hesitation, and as you mentioned earlier, the fee for somebody like him that is a hugely rated talent, as well as somebody coming from Ajax, so obviously you've almost got that guarantee that they're going to become good. He is the sort of player that would be looked at by Man United or Chelsea or like one of these like really big teams that can just, you know, show their checkbook and say, how much do you want? So it's great to see that Bayern are able to still do that sort of business where they can wrap it up. Maybe it's not quick for some people's opinions. The fact that it is getting done before the transfer window opens is, in my eyes, always a good thing, because it means that you don't have that long drawn out process of, oh, what if he doesn't sign? Or, oh, it's fine, like, don't worry about it, like, he definitely will. And then it gets to the end of it and you're like, oh, we didn't sign the guy, like, this isn't good. I guess that's maybe like a something to bring up about like Serge Gnabry potentially with this thing that has been going on for so long. But we don't need to focus on that. In terms of this transfer for Gravenberch to Bayern, I think this is really good. And I don't think there's really much that you can say against it. I think Salihamidzic did his job. His, like, this guy's dad is clearly a big fan of the club, and it shows that Salihamidzic has been a really good representative of the club, which is, that's what his job is. So in that regard, yeah, he's done a really good job here.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. It seems like he's taken all the right steps in terms of this one. But Garrett, let's talk about Gravenberch as, you know, a player, 20 years old, coming off maybe not his best season. He did have a pretty good Champions League run with Ajax, but in the league, it wasn't his best season this past season. However, the talent is obviously there, and I kind of view him as the Tolisso replacement almost, because Tolisso has just left. Obviously, Gravenberch's coming in, but I'm wondering, you know, where do you see him fitting in on this squad? Do you think that, you know, he'll be picking up pretty significant minutes this season? And do you think that he is, you know, an upgrade on Corentin Tolisso already? And if not, how long do you think we'll be waiting before he gets there?
Well, based on what I know about Gravenberch and what we saw from a guy like Tolisso, I think that you're right. I think that's who he's going to be replacing for the most part. And depending on what happens with Sabitzer, and if they end up getting Laimer coming in, I would expect him to get, you know, fairly significant. When I say significant minutes, I mean more than Tolisso got last season. I would expect if he's coming in kind of that third or fourth central midfield role to, you know, spell Goretzka or Kimmich if you need to move Kimmich somewhere else, or, you know, if an injury happens, I would expect that you'd probably get him in those places. It's a little bit different with him than it is with maybe some other young players that Bayern might get, because, like you said, he does have some Champions League experience. He played pretty well in their Europa League matches this season. So I could easily see him playing pretty significant minutes, at least in the Pokal or in minutes, you know, trying to spell some one of the other guys. So, yeah, I mean, I think to kind of just say what you guys all said, like, it's a great deal for Bayern. I think he'll come in and be, I want to say he'll probably come in and be just as good, if not better, than Tolisso was for Bayern for, you know, last couple seasons. That being said, he is only 20 years old, and it seems like there's been some a bit of a longer learning curve for players coming into Bayern the last few seasons than maybe we would have expected or hoped. But all that being said, I think he's a talented player. If Bayern already kind of have a clear plan of how they want to use him, enough that he would turn down, you know, looking at other places where he would be more certain to get playing time, then I think Bayern expect to use him fairly regularly. And I think this is really exciting, because he seems like a really, really good player in that central midfield role.
Yeah. Sebastian, I guess one of the reasons, the way I saw it, one of the reasons we brought in Julian Nagelsmann was to help develop young guys. You know, we'd seen up until Alphonso Davies, Jamal Musiala, that Bayern had really struggled to integrate these young guys into the first team. And Nagelsmann has proven in the past that's something that he excels at RB Leipzig and even Hoffenheim before that. And so do you think there's a little bit more pressure on Nagelsmann now to get Gravenberch incorporated, get him brought into the first team, get him, I guess, the minutes that he needs to one, develop, and then two, also, you know, want to stay at the club going forward? Do you think there's a little bit of extra pressure on Nagelsmann heading into the season in that area?
Yeah, I do think so. I mean, we talked about that a large part of convincing Gravenberch to join was the plan we had for him. So this plan has to be in place now, and there need to be some steps that are visible to him and to the fans for this to really work out, I would say. Nagelsmann, you cannot really say Nagelsmann hasn't done a good job there so far, because I really think he has managed to get Musiala in there more and more and more, which is a good thing. I mean, with Davies, there wasn't much to do anymore. Davies was already established as one of the best at his position, so I don't think we can talk about much development there. So, yeah, we haven't seen a whole lot of developing young guys, like making huge steps. We haven't really seen that, but, well, when you already have two young guys there, and at least Musiala has significantly improved, well, you cannot always play five very young guys of 11 players, right? So there's just kind of a limit to that. So I don't think I would be too critical of him there. But yes, developing Gravenberch, turning him into a guy who can really confidently play in like a Champions League semifinal or something, and be a very good player under these circumstances, and also be consistent, because consistency has been one of the things that haven't been perfect with him for Ajax. So you would really hope that we see more consistency out of that guy there. So this is definitely an important thing, and this is going to be probably even tougher at the position he's playing, because we have talked about that in the past, and I think there's also something to say. There's also a lot to say about that today. It's kind of crowded in the middle of the pitch, so we kind of have a lot of players who want to get some minutes there. We don't quite know how this is going to shape up, but I think it looks pretty likely that we're going to add another player who would play defensive or central midfield. And it's not quite clear who's leaving. So it's not like it would be for, like, if Gravenberch were a right back or something, like Mazraoui coming in now. So if we're going to play a right back, the chances are very high that Mazraoui is going to get these minutes, even if Stanisic is another topic. He has been looking good very recently. But yeah, it's kind of a different situation, because Gravenberch is coming in at a position where we have two starters already installed. We have another guy who is, or at least last year, looked like starter material. And then we might get another guy who will also get substantial minutes. So this is, I think, going to be the biggest challenge there. Make sure that everybody, including Gravenberch, gets enough minutes, so nobody gets annoyed, and Gravenberch gets enough time to develop, enough time in important matches. That he can develop as a player, as an athlete, and also just mentally. And this is the biggest challenge I see in that department.
Yeah, you're right. It is really crowded in the Bayern midfield, and obviously Quinton Tolisso leaving helps that a little bit, I imagine. With Gravenberch coming in, we'll be seeing hopefully less of Musiala in a deeper position, and it frees him up to play further forward. But it also sounds like there's going to be another kind of position opening with Mark Roca on his way to Leeds for around 12 million euros with potential add-ons, and that's according to multiple sources, both from Germany and from England. It really seems like that deal is about to go through. And Tim, I know you like talking about Mark Roca. This might be your last time to have the opportunity to do so on this podcast, but what went wrong for him at Bayern Munich? Because I remember you know, we wanted him, I believe in the summer of 2018 or 19, and it didn't work out. The next summer, he finally comes in, and maybe not the player that we were most excited about, but I think we were all optimistic he would be able to do a good job at Bayern and maybe even establish himself as a first-team regular. And he had a hard time even getting appearances off the bench, hard time getting any sort of minutes at all in his time at Bayern. So what went wrong for him in Munich?
It's a combination of things. I think it's maybe you can maybe chalk it up to it was a timing thing. I think that's maybe being a bit generous and doesn't take into account a lot of the nuance of his arrival when he arrived at the club. I think his first season with Hansi Flick was very frustrating because Flick didn't really rotate when he could. Before anybody thinks that like, oh, here's Tim like bad-mouthing Flick again, Nagelsmann didn't either. And it is a problem. But I guess like last year we had, you know, at one point we were on course to play the most amount of games possible because we were in Bundesliga, that's 34, Cup game, that's 7, I think. We had the Club World Cup, we had all of these different things happening. So there should have been the opportunity for players to get minutes, regardless of whether it's Lewandowski, Choupo-Moting, Douglas Costa, Mark Rocca, whoever it was. Oh yeah, did you forget that? I keep forgetting Douglas Costa was a Bayern player last season. That's crazy to me. But there was ample opportunity to get these players in and get a really cohesive unit that was working well and no one was going to be like left behind. And because I still maintain that Mark Rocca is a decent midfielder. I don't think he's maybe decent enough to start for Bayern. I think he's decent enough to play for Bayern. I think of some of the players that Bayern have had in the past few years that have been, you know, regular fixtures. I'd look at that list of players that have featured for Bayern. Mark Rocca is nowhere near the bottom of that list. He was always serviceable, and he played and in that role that he needed to be in. That's really all you need to ask, because he was going to be surrounded by guys like Josu Kimmich or Goretzka or whoever it was. He was always going to be surrounded by players that were good enough to kind of cover the shortcomings. But for whatever reason, he wasn't picked, which was very, very strange. And then maybe you think, okay, this season, Nagelsmann's first season, he was the guy to bring in these younger guys or these guys that had been previously cast out. And it didn't happen there either. I guess maybe you could potentially say Nagelsmann needed to, you know, guarantee his first season. I think he needed to make sure that he finishes the end of the season with at least the Bundesliga. In the same way that, you know, Renato Sanchez was regularly playing for Kovac at the start of his first season. And then when things started to go a bit south, Sanchez took to the bench and Kovac needed to put out his absolute best team. I think maybe there's an element of that. I think it's a really unfortunate situation with Rocca, because there was never any moment where I thought, wow, what is this guy doing here? Well, the times where I did think that was when he was constantly on the bench and not getting minutes. I was thinking, why is this guy, like, why are we keeping this guy around? Like, I don't know. It was very, very, it was very weird. I do think that Leeds are getting a player that is more than good enough to play for a team that's looking to do something half decent in a top league. I think he's strong enough that he can hold down the defensive midfielder area for a lot of teams, especially a team like Leeds who are going to be playing in a very physical league. I think his passing is very good. I think maybe you can make the argument that he's not as quick as somebody like Calvin Phillips, but that's kind of fine because I believe the plan is for both of them to play mm-hmm. together. I don't know what the situation is with Calvin Phillips potentially going to City. I'd like to see Phillips stay at Leeds. I think having Leeds in the Premier League is a good thing. Yeah, I don't know. I look at the Rocker situation, and I can kind of maybe explain away a bit of it. Okay, there were players that were better than him, like Kimmich and Goretzka. Yeah, that's a double pivot that picks itself. But then surely, with all of the goals that were being conceded, the countless times the midfield was getting overrun, surely at least one person would have said, hey, should we put in the only defensive guy that we have? Maybe that might solve problems. I don't know. It's a big shame, and I would like to have seen more. But I'm happy that he's going to go somewhere where he will play, because I think he deserves to play. He's never complained about anything. I think that's one thing that every Bayern fan, whether you rated him or not, should definitely give him credit for. Because in theory, he's got as much of a right to complain about anything. He's got more of a right to complain about his situation than Lewandowski does about his. I think Lewandowski had the entire team built around him, and apparently that wasn't enough. Mark Rocker was desperate to play and never said anything bad, gave so many interviews. I don't quite know why he gave so many interviews, but he did, and at no point did he say anything bad about the club. And in my eyes, that's a good player. He was a great servant when he was called upon, and I'm sad that he is going. I completely get it, though. I completely get it. He is good enough to play somewhere. And I will forever maintain that he was good enough to play at Bayern.
I'm glad you brought up that last point, because I think, yeah, no matter, you know, your opinion about him as a player, looking at Mark Rocker, you have to say, you know, the way he's handled this has been admirable. Every interview, he's talking about how he's not complaining that he's not playing. He says, I want to work hard. I want to earn my spot. This is one of the best clubs in the world. It's what you have to do. You have to earn your spot. Even now, you know, when he has probably been dealt a short end of a stick, he's just dealing with it. He's going on. And so you always say when a player leaves the club that you wish them the best. I mean, maybe Sebastian won't be saying that when Lewandowski is gone, but you always say that you wish him the best. But I think Mark Rocker is one of those guys that, if it is Leeds, or if, you know, something turns around and he ends up going back to Spain, wherever it is, you genuinely want to see him succeed. You genuinely want to see him, you know, reach that potential, and maybe look back and say, hey, it didn't work out here, but, you know, thank goodness he's finally doing something somewhere else. And so, yeah, I wish him the best wherever he goes. But Garrett, supposedly Mark Rocker's spot, I don't want to say his spot, but the defensive midfield kind of hole that's going to be left behind with him is apparently, reportedly, going to be filled by Konrad Laimer if everything works out. And so I don't want to talk too much about that deal specifically, but I do want to look at where all of this leaves Marcel Sabitzer, right? Because he was brought in last summer and we were pretty excited about that deal, and he got some minutes this season and we just kept waiting on them to get better. And I genuinely think they almost every single time got worse up until the very end. And, you know, reports say that he's eager to stay, but Hasan Salihamidžić is ready to sell, try and get that money back. Even Nagelsmann doesn't seem totally convinced that Sabitzer can hack it here at Bayern. Of course, we just brought in Gravenberch, who's going to need those minutes to develop. You know, what does Bayern do with Marcel Sabitzer? If you're in charge there, do you, you know, go out and actively look and try and get your money back, try and sell him? Or do you say, okay, look, you want to try and prove it, we're going to give you, you know, another season, another half season, see how it goes and figure things out from there?
Well, I think first of all, Bayern got a good deal on Sabitzer. I mean, I think when you look back at what they got him for, it was under 20 million. And at the time, you know, his market value was up in the 40s probably. And so Bayern got a good deal. I think the issue to me seems to be more so, trying to get as much as you can for a player, who is nearing 30 and doesn't look to be a consistent minutes eater on your team. I don't think I think for me, I would love for Sabitzer to stay, because I think all the things that we said about him before last season are still, at least theoretically, true. He can still do a lot of different things, play in a lot of different positions. And I do think, for whatever reason, it's difficult to get up and running with Bayern recently. I mean, I can't think of a player who's come in right away and immediately been exactly the player that we had hoped that they would be. Maybe you guys can think of some, but I'm struggling to think of any recently anyway. And so I wouldn't mind seeing him stay and get a chance to kind of show himself to be that player, because as good as he was two seasons ago, it'd be shocking to me if that's just suddenly gone. He's just suddenly not a good player. But that being said, if the issue is that he's just not a good fit, which again seems odd given that it's the same manager that he's really succeeded under, it makes a lot of sense to try to get some money back for a player that's nearing the age 30 season. He's not done well at Bayern, to say the least. I understand. I think Bayern should give him at least that other half season. I think you could still get a pretty decent amount. I think that, I think I saw they were looking, maybe you said it too, 15 mil was what they were hoping to get. Which seems like if you're going to get 15 mil for him now, you're probably not risking much by having him play, you know, for the first half of the season, see how things are going. And then if things aren't working, you try to flip him in the winter window, and you know, maybe you sell him for 10 to 12. To me, that doesn't seem like that big a big enough difference to not go that route. Because this is just me. I have kind of a hunch he'll have a better season this season if he sticks with Bayern than last season, which again, low bar to clear maybe, but I just have a hard time believing he just doesn't know how to play football anymore.
Yeah. Tim, Sebastian, I guess, do either of you have any strong thoughts or strong feelings about what should be done with Sabitzer, or even if they're not that strong, you know, what do you do in this situation?
I've never been fond of a player coming in one season and then going out the door the next. I remember Torsten Frings, which is maybe a name for some of the older fans. He seemed like a quintessential Bayern player. Like he was a regular for the national team. He could kind of do, I don't know, maybe Sebastian, correct me if I'm wrong, he kind of seems like a Sabitzer type player. Maybe not like directly, but he was the sort of guy that you could kind of put him anywhere, and in theory, you'd expect him to do like a half decent job. Does that seem right?
Yeah, that seems pretty fair. You could put him on the side, could put him more in the middle. You could have him as more of an offensive guy. You could have him kind of like a defensive central kind of hybrid. Yes, I would agree.
Yeah, and always good for like scoring a great goal as well. Well, maybe not always, but he's capable of scoring a really good goal. And Frings was at Bayern for one season. I think he fell out. I think it was under Felix Magath. I think he like kind of fell out with the manager and then left, maybe to Bremen, maybe to Dortmund. I can't remember exactly. But I was very disappointed about that, because it seemed like, yeah, this is such a great signing for the club. Like I love this guy. I've watched him for Germany. This is going to be really good. And so I was very disappointed to see him go. And I don't want that to happen with Sabitzer, because he's clearly good enough, in the same way that Mark Rocha is clearly good enough to play. But then that kind of raises the question, like, why is Sabitzer playing so regularly when he's regularly disappointing? And then why isn't Rocker playing when he's regularly fine? I don't know. That we're past that, I guess. I'll be very disappointed if Sabitzer does go, but at the same time, I am kind of leaning towards it because I don't see him as a real notable like upgrade on like the Tolisso role of, you know, if Goretzka or Kimmich gets injured, then put Sabitzer in there and that's perfect. I don't really like him in a double pivot, but I guess if this coming season we're going to see slightly more adaptability and flexibility from Nagelsmann, then you need players like that. So in that sense, maybe Garrett's prediction of this is going to be a really good season for him, maybe that is right. Maybe he can chime in with a few goals, some great assists, and even away from those sort of performance metrics, maybe this could just be the games where he is in the center of it and he is getting involved and he's having that impact. Because like, I don't want to say I'm done with measuring players' impacts with goals and assists, but for a central midfielder, it doesn't tell you everything. It definitely doesn't tell you everything. But I'd love to see him like a Bayern fan growing up. I think we've all seen the picture of him in that T-Mobile kit. To see a Bayern fan play for the club, it's really great to see, and we need players like that, people that actually want to be at the club, which is why I'm so excited about Gravenberch and why I'm so excited about Sadio Mane as well. Like, these are guys that that have said as soon as Bayern were involved, or like they said they were interested, I was all over it, or words to that effect. So I would love to see Sabitzer stay for another season and do really, really well. But in the same breath, if an offer does come in for him, it would be suitable to not necessarily immediately take the first offer that comes in, but I don't know. He's such a complicated player, and I don't envy the person who has to decide his future.
For me, I think it's so hard to decide what to do with him because I don't feel like I have really understood at all why it didn't work out in the first place. So I have no idea how hard it would be to fix because I don't properly understand what's actually broken. So this might be an easy fix. Maybe there's a solution there and then everything can be great, and then I don't see why we would sell him for something in the ballpark of 10 million because he's just a better player than that. But he just hasn't shown that yet, so you would have to see that. But yeah, maybe it's not like that. Maybe it is a really complicated problem. Maybe it's personal things. Maybe it's something tactical that I'm not seeing. And then maybe you just cannot fix it, or you cannot fix it very easily, and then with like enough players for his position, even 10 million is better than nothing, really. So it's really hard to say, and Nagelsmann would know better, I think. Of course, I would say Nagelsmann should have an idea whether this is fixable or not, but it's kind of curious that he's kind of also like seems to be on the fence about it. So maybe he's as puzzled as I am, I don't know. That makes it so hard for me anyway.
I think Tim said something that really makes a lot of sense to me, and it's that, you know, what is Nagelsmann going to do heading into this new season? What's the system that he wants to nail down and kind of stick with? And I think that you identify that system and then ask yourself, okay, is Sabitzer going to be able to get significant minutes here? Where does he fall in the pecking order? You know, is he behind Kimmich, Goretzka? Is he behind Gravenberch? Is he going to be behind Laimer? Is he still even behind Musiala? And I think if you answer yes to all of those, and then, you know, we have that young guy Zvonarek coming in, if he's, you know, wants to develop him over Sabitzer, then yes, you sell him. But I also tend to lean with Tim on the side of, it's always a shame to see a player come and only play one season and then be shipped out the door, because and like Garrett was saying earlier, very rarely does someone come in and immediately take to life here at Bayern. When you were talking, I think Alphonso Davies is the closest we've seen to something like that, where someone comes in and has an impact sooner than we expected, but even he took a little bit of time before he really reached, you know, that level. And we're also talking about a different caliber of player there, anyway. But so the question, you know, is what is Nagelsmann going to do? And earlier this week, there was a report that I think kind of went under the radar that was talking about Julian Nagelsmann and his relationship with Joshua Kimmich, who apparently he has really identified with as the club and has set aside as the player that he really wants to build this team around. And so Garrett, my question is, you know, number one, do you think Nagelsmann is right in identifying Kimmich as the guy that he wants to shape this squad around? Do you think Joshua Kimmich is ready to take on this role? And if so, you know, let's play the game. If you're Nagelsmann, what is that role for Kimmich? Is it, you know, the deeper role? Is it more of a free kind of advanced role? Where do you see him putting Kimmich in and getting the most success out of him?
So I guess on the first question is if he's the guy to build around. I mean, I don't know that there's too many other options there. The only other guy I can think of in terms of like, hey, let's build the squad around this guy would be Musiala. But even him, I think it's too early to say, let's put all our eggs in that basket, you know? So to me, with Kimmich, he's got the combination of age, some of the leadership ability. He plays in a central role, which is always helpful, I think, to have your kind of main guy be more central on the pitch. I mean, I think there's a lot of reasons why you would want to keep Kim. He has been at times one of the best players at central midfield and right back. I mean, he's shown that he's just a world class player. I think he's definitely the prime candidate to be that next generation of top Bayern player. So that's that part. The other part about, you know, where you play him, you don't play him in defensive midfield because I think you limit him too much. It's kind of the same kind of situation as with right back. He can be one of the world's best right backs, but you aren't dipping into his entire skill set. Same thing with defensive midfield, which is better than right back, but again, he gets forward well enough and is good at delivering crosses. All the corner kick issue aside, he was weirdly bad on corner kicks, I felt like, at least in the second half of the season. But so I think you do let him get more forward. We've talked about that box-to-box midfielder role, as you know, him and Goretzka kind of fill that alternatively. But I think ultimately, yeah, that's kind of his best spot, is being able to get forward, but to kind of camp out in the middle of the pitch there and kind of direct things, both from an offensive and defensive perspective. That's kind of where I feel like he's been the most successful when he's been at the top of his game. So that's where I would kind of set him. And I think, given the players that they are kind of accumulating, and some of these younger guys coming in, and you know, who knows how this team's going to look on the day that Thomas Müller's no longer running around on the pitch there. It seems to me that's where he's going to play. So, I don't have any other options for at least of the guys that are on the squad. Who do you build around other than Kimmich?
Yeah, that's more or less how I feel as well. Tim, Sebastian, any thoughts to add about, you know, whether you see Joshua Kimmich as someone who's ready to step up and be the centerpiece of a team? Maybe you think this is almost even overdue and how do you kind of, I guess, get the best out of him? Because I do see him as the player that's worth shaping the system around to where you extract the best out of him, especially with Robert Lewandowski leaving, Thomas Muller, still a great player, but you can't just rely on that anymore. I think it's time that we build a system that gets the best out of our players who are in their prime, and then Kimmich is right entering into that prime. So I guess what's the solution there?
I think the I've been a firm proponent of this for a while. I think the my solution would be to put Kimmich as a number eight and have a defensive midfielder behind him. I'll probably go into more detail about this in an upcoming episode. I don't want to give anything away already, but I have a vision in my head of how this Bayern team could look with everybody at their absolute best. And I do think that someone like Kimmich could really, really benefit from being in a role like that right-sided number eight with a number six behind him, because it gives him the agency to go forward, which he's so good at doing, as he was at right back, as he is in the midfield role that he's in currently. But it also means that you don't take him away from the middle of the park, which is where, when he is at right back, you think, this is great, but there's clearly something missing in the middle. There is, you have the best of both worlds. The whole idea of a 4-3-3, however, is something that brings up like a number of other caveats, which, again, I won't go into right now. In terms of if he is the right player to build a team around, I think yes, in a sporting sense. I think the ascension that he had to very quickly becoming one of the best, well, very quickly becoming one of the best right backs in the world, and then very quickly becoming one of the best midfielders in the world, is really, really noteworthy, but I don't think it's at all surprising. He is sensational. He's clearly one of the best midfielders that Bayern have had in such a long time, out of such a long list of really, really good players. I think, like, you can even count Philipp Lahm in that sense because of how he played at times under Pep. Kimmich is still comfortably in, you know, the top 10 of Bayern midfielders in the past, I don't know, however long you want to extend that to. He is that good. So to see him get the plaudits and have these reports of he is going to be the focal point, I think that's really exciting. In terms of him being seen as the person that Nagelsmann goes to, if he is kind of like that unofficial captain, a couple of years ago, I would have been all over that. I would have said, that's a fantastic idea. I think he's clearly going to be Bayern captain. And I do think that he will be Bayern captain eventually. I think he needs to sort out his temperament.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I say that as somebody that supports a club that was captained by Oliver Kahn, Stefan Effenberg, for a very, very long time. The Bayern captaincy isn't something that's always been given to the calmest guy in the world. But I do think that he needs to sort that out. If he can, and he doesn't immediately like scream at people, I feel he's going to be screaming at people regardless. That is just in his nature. But like constantly like shouting and screaming and being angry on the pitch, I think you can channel that. This is turning into like a therapy session for Jos Kimmich, which I don't think he's asked for. But I think you can channel that aggression into something that is productive for the entire squad, because I think a game that it was really evident the impact that he has on the team, it was the games against Liverpool, where he got himself booked quite foolishly, I'd say, and it meant that he missed the return leg. I don't know what would have happened in that game had Kimmich and also Muller as well, had they been involved. But if you can get rid of that element of your game that stops you from getting, that element that keeps on getting you like bookings or getting you into trouble or being a way to present you as a somewhat problematic person. And I don't mean like everything that happened with the whole COVID thing. I don't think that's going to factor into it. But in terms of how he is on the pitch, I think he needs to take a step back at times. And that could then open him up to be the captain that Bayern need him to be in three, four, or five years from now. I think he can do it, but I don't think he's there just yet.
Sebastian, well, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for my part, I think we probably all agree that the three guys who are like the cornerstones right now are probably Müller, Kimmich, and kind of Musiala. I guess these are the three guys who are the Bayern guys who we kind of expect to be here for a very, very long time. I mean, Thomas Müller has been here for a very long time, not necessarily still staying for a very long time. But yeah, these are, I think, three generations nearly of Bayern players. I mean, generation is probably going a bit too far, but there's a significant difference in age between all three of them. And I think it's great to have them. It's great to have them in the middle of the park. And Kimmich is the one of those three who is both still young enough to have a whole number of years here and not so young that you would be kind of reluctant to put all this pressure on him. I think he's definitely ready for all the pressure you can give him. So he's definitely the guy you want to center everything around. He's the guy you want to be probably the most important player. Well, he's still rivaled, of course, by Thomas Müller there. But yeah, he's going to be that for the next couple of years. So I really don't think there are many alternatives there. I don't think anybody would argue that Kimmich should be less important or anything. So I think that kind of somewhat even answers itself, honestly. I mean, there have been these issues with mentality. We have been talking about that. There has been this weird vaccination thing. I think we're over that. But yeah, the question where he should play is really a tough one. I would still argue that the best I have seen Kimmich play was under Hansi Flick, when Goretzka and him were playing pretty offensively at times, but just very with a lot of versatility, changing places. Sometimes one is going to be the backup, one time it's the other, and Kimmich would be on the side and in the middle and would be kind of everywhere. So the question becomes for me, is Kimmich under Nagelsmann going to be the same thing? Will Nagelsmann try to kind of do the same thing, try to implement that again, try to make that work in his system? I'm not so sure. I doubt it. I think Kimmich under Nagelsmann is probably going to be someone who's going to be a bit more static, like not necessarily all over the pitch, not necessarily being defensive midfield now, but then suddenly running down the right side. I don't think this is necessarily what we're going to see under Nagelsmann, but I don't think I can give you the complete answer, because I don't think Nagelsmann has the complete answer ready, because I haven't seen it last year. And I think that's definitely one of the big things you would want to see Nagelsmann do. Find that space. And I think what Tim said is there's definitely a lot in favor of that, I would say. You would want Kimmich a bit further up. You would ideally want someone behind him. We don't have that guy yet. And also, it causes a number of problems there. Where do you put other guys? Because if you put another guy in the middle, well, there are so many guys you want to play in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
All those three guys that I've mentioned, Musiala, Müller, and Kimmich, you all want them kind of somewhere in that middle. And that really makes it tough if you are not going to play Musiala as a striker or something. So this is kind of a riddle Nagelsmann will have to solve in the very near future.
Yep, and we're pretty much out of time, but I do want to add something real quick. Just, I've been watching the Germany games in the Nations League recently, and if you've been watching those, I think Kimmich has been one of the real bright spots underneath Hansi Flick and the German national team so far, and especially he has stood out when he's been paired with Ilkay Gundogan in a kind of a double pivot in a back three. But in that role, Gundogan sits a little bit deeper, and Kimmich is given the freedom to go forward and to, like Tim said, he play as an eight. And when I look at Kimmich, he's a great player all around, but undisputedly, in my opinion, it's the creativity that sets him apart. That's he is a creative player, and that's where he excels. And so for me, I guess the hope is Nagelsmann finds a system that, you know, maybe he has some defensive duties. Obviously, he's going to track back. He's going to play some defense, but really emphasizes the creative, the attacking aspect of his game, because I think that's where we're going to get the best out of him. And so I guess we'll wait and see. But I'm excited to see, you know, with Robert Lewandowski, hopefully, stepping away from the club, Joshua Kimmich being able to take that step up, take on more responsibility, more leadership, and kind of be that identifiable figure here at the club. But we do need to wrap this one up. So if you've enjoyed listening today, or if you're a regular fan of the podcast and you haven't done this already, please do us a favor and leave us a 5-star review, because we would greatly appreciate that. If you want to get in touch with us, there are a few ways that you can do that. You can email us at superbyronpod@gmail.com, or you can follow us over on Twitter at superbyronpod and keep up to date with us there. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts, we're probably going to be there. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.